Ladies and gentlemen, return your radios to their upright position. Prepare for takeoff into hour number two with America's First Lady of Liberty. A voice, not left, not right, but truth-centered, taking on all enemies of freedom. Now, from the live, free, or die sovereign state of New Hampshire, raise up another rousing cheer for the Doctor of Digital Privacy. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Catherine Albrecht.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the program. I am your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and we've got a tremendous hour of radio prepared for you this hour. We're going to be speaking with Steve Wise, or Stephen Wise. He is the attorney who has, I'm just getting a note here that I somehow gave him the wrong number. He is the attorney, by the way, who has been handling the case of Balkan the Cat, who was microchipped back in 2005 and determined to have a fibrosarcoma, a cancerous growth on his back surrounding the microchip. And just one sec, I'm actually getting a note here that the phone number that I have provided for Stephen Wise is inaccurate, so I'm just going to try really quickly, and I hate doing this on the air, but I need to do it to make sure that that number is correct. So hang on, let me just provide that one more time. And I know Donovan is listening. Donovan, Steve Wise also is listed on the Internet. He is an attorney. He is based out of, out of Florida. So I think we got his number there on the Internet as well if you're having difficulty finding it. So just a little bit of background, and if we can't get Steve up right this second, we'll get him up in just a couple of minutes after the break. I'll frantically make all the phone calls then. But if we can't get him up now, let me at least give you the background of the story. This is the big press release that we sent out yesterday, the press release going out talking about the lawsuit against Merck, the multinational pharmaceutical giant that has consumed, sort of amoeba-style, surrounded Shearing Plough, which is the company, also it's in its own right, was a pharmaceutical giant. But Shearing Plough, in addition to its other efforts, also owned the Home Again microchipping company that you've seen so many ads for. That's the one that they have at all the veterinarian offices that they are injecting into people's cats and dogs. Well, those things turn out to cause cancer. And it looks like we have Steve Wise, attorney Stephen Wise, with us on the line now, and I'll let him tell the rest of the story. Hey, Steve.
How are you today?
I am doing terrific. I'm sorry we had a little glitch with the phone number, but I'm delighted to have you on. And give us a little bit of the story here. Now, we've got this big lawsuit filed against Merck, filed last week in Massachusetts District Court, and kind of give us the summary of how you got involved and what this case is all about.
Well, I got involved because my client, Andrea Rutherford, had a cat that she wanted to get microchipped, and so she took it to a veterinarian in South Boston who microchipped the cat. And then subsequently she noticed that something was odd, and they ended up – and they told her to watch, make sure everything was okay. And eventually they became concerned, and they did a biopsy, and they found that this lump was a cancerous tumor, and that inside the lump was the microchip.
Yeah, that would be similar, of course, to the stories that I've reported on over the last couple of years. There's been a number of stories that I've reported on animals developing cancer around the microchips. Now, we know that this has happened in dogs. We've got two published research studies in the literature regarding dogs. We have a lot of anecdotal stories. That means things that haven't yet been written up, but people have come to us. And we have a lot of cases of rats and mice and even an Egyptian bat and a mole rat. But
yeah,
this is the first case that I've ever seen that's actually been documented and verified, where I've actually been able to go through the medical records of this kind of cancer occurring in a cat. Now, I'm guessing that there are many other cases out there, but this is the first one where I've actually been able to see the oncology report.
You know, we really don't know. One of the things we'll be trying to find out from the defendants is whether anyone else has reported anything like this, whether any of their in-house studies reported any of these sorts of results in any species of animal. And perhaps people out there in the audience who are listening to this, who might have cats or other animals who have endured similar kinds of experiences, can then give you a call or send me an email, and we can see, as I said yesterday to the Boston Globe, we can see whether this is a small problem or whether it's a bigger problem.
Well, and that's really the question, because every time this kind of story gets out, we hear from more people. We've heard from some people just because of the media coverage in the last couple of days who've also contacted us with this problem. So given the number of reports that we're getting and the fact that most people don't, you know, if your cat gets cancer, first of all, they may not even tell you that the microchip was in there. And second of all, you're probably not going to be looking around for a place to tell that story to. My dog last night, actually, I have a new dog, and he wound up getting, I don't know if he got a spider bite or what happened, but he swelled up like a balloon, and I had to rush to the emergency vet and say, what's going on with my dog? And, you know, but it didn't occur to me to go somewhere and file a report about that. You know, you just deal with it and you move on. So how many people out there do you think actually are going to take the time to contact Merck or Home Again or, you know, the real extreme case, contact an attorney to actually do something about this? I mean, that I guess that's going to be the question.
I think you probably answered it yourself. Probably few people would do that. Whether that reflects the fact that it really isn't happening very much, or whether it reflects the fact that people simply move on with their lives and it is happening more, is something that I presume over the next year or two we'll begin to find out.
Yeah, I think we will. Now, let me ask you, I'm not an attorney, and I took only one course in law in college, so I don't even have much of a background. I'm guessing that probably our listeners, many of them may be in the same situation. Explain to us, if you would, what is the procedure from here? Now, you filed something called a complaint last week, and has that gotten into Merck's hands yet? Like, what happens next?
Well, the next thing that happens, at least under Massachusetts law, is that the plaintiff has up to 90 days in which to serve the complaint on the defendants. And so sometime within the next 90 days, we will do that. We also sent them what's called a demand letter under the Massachusetts Consumer Protection Statute, which is Chapter 93A and then Section 9. And so they have 30 days to make a reasonable tender of settlement or not. And then we will likely amend the complaint and add a claim under the Consumer Protection Statute and probably serve the complaint and the amended complaint at the same time, and as well as a set of what is called discovery. You can usually send what are called interrogatories, which are questions that the defendant answers under oath. You can send a request for production of documents, asking them, have you ever had any of these reported to you? Have you had your internal scientists ever reported that they ran into this kind of a problem if they were doing any work? Do you have any kind of documents that might have any kind of relevance to our case? And then the third kind of discovery is that you can schedule depositions in which you might find someone. They might find that my client they want to speak to, or the person who did the biopsy they may want to speak to, or I want to speak to someone at one of the defendants and ask them questions. And so these things can end up taking a couple years before they finally resolve.
Wow. Okay. So now, as far as your client, Andrea Rutherford, and I talked in the first hour and said I've not had an opportunity to speak to Andrea. She's kind of letting you handle the public face of this, and I certainly don't blame her because she's up against a big company. What are the implications, more generically, and this doesn't have to be about Andrea's case, but more generically, what are the implications of actually suing a company the size of Merck? What does that mean as opposed to, say, suing your landlord or suing a smaller company like Digital Angel, which they've also got a named as a co-defendant in this?
Well, I assume Merck has an interest in winning the case or settling it, perhaps, but probably in winning it, and so I assume they're going to try to win it. So,
yeah, when you say win, wouldn't Merck probably first want to say, hey, you know, you're asking for $10,000. Do you want the expenses? Here you go. Or would that be an admission potentially of guilt?
You know, I've been doing litigation for more than 30 years, and there are so many ways in which you can settle a suit or win a suit or lose a suit. There's an enormous number of permutations, and I have no idea when I begin how it's all going to end. The idea that a jury comes down and says the plaintiff gets money or the defendant wins, Those don't happen very often. You're probably 1% of the time. The other 99% of the time, all kinds of other things might happen. And so
I actually want to tackle some of those possible outcomes when we come back. We're visiting with Stephen Wise, attorney in the Merck lawsuit. Stay tuned.
We live in a scary world, and things seem to get worse every day. Yet when you hear me on the radio, there's a spring in my step and a smile in my voice. How is that possible with all the bad news I have to plow through each day? The answer is a simple one. It's because of my relationship with God. I come to Him with my prayers, faith, and love, and He rewards me with protection, courage, and calm. He meets all my needs and opens doors for me when they need to be opened. God wants that kind of relationship with you, too. To find the comfort and security that comes from knowing the God of the universe, the loving God who made you, you can start by reading the book of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament, about two-thirds of the way through your Bible. Pray before you begin reading. Ask God to touch your heart and let you feel His love. The Lord wants to save you from the ravening beast nipping at all of our heels. He wants to embrace you as His beloved child and meet all of your needs. Give Him a chance to do it. Read the book of Matthew today.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE, and cross food off your to-do list.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ally-C. Why Ally-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ally-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ally-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ally-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ally-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally-C. For more information and to order Ally-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally-C today.
Trouble sometimes. There's
visiting with our special guest today, the attorney who is handling that microchip cancer lawsuit against Merck and also Digital Angel. Anybody who's been following the Verichip human implant, you should know that Digital Angel is sort of their original parent company. They spun off, and they've been all over the place with different names. But Digital Angel now makes most of its money by manufacturing microchip, implantable microchips, glass-encapsulated RFID transponders with an antenna contained inside. They are injected into literally millions of salmon every year. In fact, it's kind of weird. They put them into millions of salmon, and then the salmon go through as part of their waterway. They've built this huge cement tunnel that the water rushes through, and it's like a huge round RFID reader, so everything going through it gets read, and they keep track of the salmon that way. There's a really disgusting video that my colleague Liz McIntyre and my Spy Chips co-author and I watched a while back, and we even wrote about it in our book, and then that chapter on animal chipping got dropped from the book. But it's fascinating stuff, and the video actually shows these squirming fish getting jabbed with these transponders, one after another by the thousands. It's absolutely awful. But the other place that they're jabbing animals with these chips is, of course, in the veterinarian offices and in the animal shelters around the country. And that is why this lawsuit now has been filed against Merck. Now, let me ask you this, Steve. Is one of Andrea's goals, Andrea Rutherford, the plaintiff in this case? Is that what we call her?
Yes.
All right. Is one of her goals to kind of raise awareness about these issues among other pet owners so that they don't suffer the same fate that Vulcan did?
Well, yes, I think she wants to find out, and I think, as I said, whether this is a small problem or a big problem. Right now we really don't know. There isn't any kind of a central registry. It's difficult to know whether this happens once in a blue moon or it happens on a regular basis. I think first she's trying to learn what scale of problem is there? What kind of a problem is out there? And to the degree that it's serious, then I think she wants to disseminate that information and make people understand that it is serious, if it is serious.
Right. Well, and that's the big question, because, you know, the question that I have, you know, obviously I didn't know about Vulcan. And Vulcan's case happened 3 years ago. I was not aware of Vulcan's case. So every time I hear about a case, I think, well, how come I didn't know about this? You know, because I'm the person who's trying to report on these and research them. So that's why we created the Chip Me Not website. So hopefully when people have this experience, they'll tell their own stories. And we've already gotten a whole rash of stories coming in just from the media attention in the last couple of days.
Well, you know, it's something I experienced as well. It was not easy to find any information at all about this. Andrea came to me, you know, well over a year ago, and I gave this to some people to look at. I took a look at it myself, and we really found very little. And then when I started looking again a couple months ago, I guess I must have used other search terms or whatever. But all of a sudden, I started finding more. It's really hard to find.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we put, like I said, the Chip Me Not website up there to try to showcase some of these stories. How long did it take you guys in doing your research before you found the research that we had published?
Well, we didn't find it the first time through. I would say whenever I contacted you, which was probably in September, that was probably within a day or two of my finding your work. But the first time through, we didn't find your work. And as I said, we might have been using the wrong search terms, because we certainly had looked before your work was or after your work was published, and somehow we just didn't find it. And so this time we found it, and then of course we began to find a lot of other things.
Now, was Andrea familiar with Todd Lewin's article that came out also in 2007 when Vulcan developed his cancer? She was not.
We didn't find Todd Lewin's article either. In fact, I found it and sent it to her. These things were not easy to find, and I even gave it to a veterinarian and said, tell me about this a couple years ago, and she didn't find any of this stuff. And so finally I just said, well, maybe I'll look myself. And so I may have been using different kind of search terms, or she may have been using some kind of a scholarly site, and I was using regular Google. Or I use Google Scholar. I don't remember, but clearly she was doing a different kind of search than I was, and she wasn't coming up with the things that I found.
Huh. All right. Well, that's a little disturbing to find out. Well, I'm hoping now with this story coming out and the Chipping Out website, of course, we've got all our stuff also at antichips.com, which is sort of an anti-human chipping website. But I'm a little bit perplexed that that's not getting into people's hands. And I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to where vets will say, I've never heard of that. I've never heard any research. And then the other thing is that the chipping companies themselves are putting out a huge amount of information that is kind of obfuscating the main case. You know, they're all pointing to this registry in Great Britain, which is totally voluntary, where, you know, they've got a couple of cases of irritation and other things, but they don't talk about the cancers. So,
well,
yeah.
If it's a voluntary one, then I'm not sure how that valuable it is. If it was the kind of a registry where you were required by law to report something, then you would have more confidence that you're getting a higher percentage of problems. If it's completely voluntary, then, as we spoke before, it's certainly possible that people may not think it's something that anyone is interested in, and even if they did, they may not know where to go.
Isn't that an interesting situation? So I'm wondering, you know, I'm a libertarian, so I'm not a big fan of lots of laws, but it certainly would be nice to have some kind of at least a veterinary association put out a request to all of the veterinarians across the country to begin reporting these and to set up a central registry. We desperately need it. It's
well,
absolutely important.
I think the defendants might be in favor of that, too. If they truly think that Balkan's problem was some kind of a freak, then they would want to set up a central registry and make sure that everyone knew that if there was a problem, this is where they reported, and then they could then come back and say, well, look, everyone knows about it. Nobody reports it. I think the argument is stronger that it's not happening.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if their argument is, you know, this isn't a problem, then they should welcome that kind of scrutiny because it would exonerate them. I mean, you would think. All right, our guest is Stephen Wise. Our phone number here, if you have a question about cat chipping, dog chipping, cancer, and lawsuits, and even animal rights, 1-800-259-9231 is the phone number. My email is kma@spychips.com.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCM specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
R-F-I-D, Chip in my right hand, and I'll drink that government Kool-Aid when I can. Just be a good little sheepo and buy on command. R-F-I-D,
Chip in my right hand.
No ID chip for illegals, but one for you and me. After all, we're the ones who obey willingly. RFID,
chip in my right hand.
The government says the ID chip is good security. No more sovereign citizen, your inventory. RFID,
chip in my right hand.
And I drink that government Kool-Aid when I can. Just be a good little sheeple and buy on command. RFID,
chip in my right hand.
Okay, Mr. Bureaucrat, sir, I'm here for my ID chip injection. Put it there. Ow. It hurts bigger than it looks.
There you go, yeah. And nothing quite hurts the same as having to have major surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation to have a tumor removed after that little poink there causes cancer. Speaking with us this hour, Stephen Wise. He is the attorney representing Andrea Rutherford in her lawsuit against Merck and Digital Angel. And we want to take your phone calls and questions and comments on that, even if you'd just like to weigh in and say thank you. 1-800-259-9231. We're a big fan around here, Steve, of what you're doing. I've gotten a huge outpouring of support from the many, many people that received our email and our press release yesterday. That press release, by the way, went out to 10,000 different media outlets, and it looks like about 3,000 of them actually posted it or blogged about it or put it out there. So I hope Andrea is pleased, because we got about 3,000 mentions yesterday all across the internet on all the many, many places that it could be posted. So it looks like her story, if that was her goal, looks like her story is actually hitting the brainwaves of other pet owners.
Wonderful.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, I had said that I was going to ask you, first let me tell people how they can reach us. 1-800-259-9231, kma@spychips.com is the email. And, Steve, I said I was going to ask you what the possible outcomes are, and it, just in layperson's terms, if you could help us understand, if Merck were to turn around and say, all right, you want us to meet your expenses, here they are, then would that terminate the lawsuit?
Oh, no. If either side wants to take the case to trial, then it goes to trial.
It does.
Assuming that the plaintiff has done everything right, the defendant hasn't found one of the many, many ways in which it's possible to terminate a lawsuit earlier, than it would if it went all the way to trial. But other than that, no one can make anyone settle. And if either side wants to bring it to trial, just as a matter of principle, then the jury will get it.
Now, explain that to me, because and this isn't even particularly relevant in this case, but I'm just curious.
Sure.
If I file a lawsuit against you, and you owe me $10,000, so I claim, and you say, all right, here's your $10,000, then doesn't that make the lawsuit go away, since that's really all I'm asking for? Can I still demand, even if you say, all right, you want $10,000, here it is, can I still demand that we go to court?
Yes.
Really?
You can. Some states... will not penalize you for that. Some states will. There are states where there might be a statute or a rule of civil procedure that says if someone makes you a formal offer and you end up getting an amount that is less than that or some percentage less than that, then you'll have to end up paying the other side's attorney's fees or something like that. But I can't think of any state in which you would be required to drop your suit. You'd be required to settle. I can't think of any jurisdiction.
That seems odd to me, because if you're suing for something specific and someone offers to give you that something, then I would think that you just wouldn't want to clog up the courts with something.
Well,
like
I would
that.
Guess that 99.9% of the people will say, I'll take it. But,
yeah.
but you don't have to take it. It might make good financial and emotional sense to take it, but that's really up to you.
I gotcha. Now, in this case, and again, not to, you know, reveal your legal strategy or anything, but do you think Andrea is the kind of person who would say, you know, sure, pay the bills and I'll just go quietly away? Or do you think she wants to really kind of get the story out?
I think she wants to find out what's going on.
Okay.
I think she wants to make sure it doesn't happen again to her cat. Of course, it does. It won't. If she doesn't chip the cat, then it won't happen under any circumstance. But I think she's interested in finding out, you know, how big the problem is, and to the extent that it is a large problem, then she wants to get it fixed so that other animals won't suffer in any way.
Well, and I have to say, my biggest concern here is that there are a lot of people who oppose these microchips because of the stories that they've seen, because they have friends who've lost animals, certainly in the case of people who've lost animals themselves, and I'm thinking here of Howard Gillis, very specifically, who lost Seamus, his
uh-huh.
bull mastiff. I mean, you know, Howard is a very strong and capable and professional man, but I've actually heard him cry when he's been telling the story of what happened to Seamus. We actually had him on the program here, and it broke my heart to hear him talk. If he lives in a community that has mandatory microchipping laws, then if he gets another dog, he will have to stand by helpless as the veterinarian places that microchip into his animal, or else become a criminal, actually be violating the law.
Well, and that is very interesting as to whether such a law would be constitutional. I hadn't really begun thinking about that until the last few weeks when I started reading about this and realized that there were jurisdictions that did mandate microchipping. I feel very uneasy about that, mandating something that might conceivably cause harm doesn't sound constitutional to me, but you know, I've been wrong before.
Well, and that's something I would love to talk to you about, because let me specifically give you the case in Los Angeles County. There, LA is kind of a weird place. They've got these unincorporated areas of Los
yes.
Angeles County.
They do in Florida as well.
Yeah, so they've got these, and you would think unincorporated areas would be like big swaths of wilderness, but they're not. They're cities. I mean, they've got mayors and they've got city councils.
Oh, really?
And you know,
okay.
You know, in some cases, it's bizarre how they have this incorporated and unincorporated. Actually, I don't know if they have mayors. Let me think. The town of Monrovia comes to mind, because I know someone there with a dog.
I couldn't imagine how an unincorporated area could have a mayor,
I guess they wouldn't. But they have some kind of a structure of their own.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, these are not places that are little two, you know, one car towns or one stoplight towns. They're thriving, you know, bustling Los Angeles suburbs. And they're kind of a patchwork quilt of which ones are sort of in that status. But there are millions of people. Well, I don't even know if it's millions. I would guess it probably is millions of people that are living in these unincorporated areas. And in Los Angeles County, those people are required by law to get a microchip injected into their dogs. And the family of Charlie Brown, who actually contacted me after a radio interview, that's always when I hear from people. I get on the radio, they hear me, they contact me, they say, oh my gosh, I never heard about this, but that happened to my dog. So they contacted me and told me about the story of Charlie Brown, which is featured on the Chip Me Not website. And Charlie Brown is the most adorable little long-haired chihuahua who bled to death after being injected with a microchip. And he is the only case that I'm aware of, again, this may be happening more, of an animal actually bleeding to death after being chipped. Now, the tragic part of their story is they were facing a potential $1,000 fine for failing to microchip the dog they got after Charlie Brown died. So they got another dog almost identical to Charlie Brown, and they said, you know, over our dead body, is someone going to put a microchip into this animal after what happened to us? And technically, I think they may have wound up either giving the dog to someone in another city or I don't think they relocated, but I think they actually moved the dog. So it's this very bizarre limbo situation for them. I don't believe, I haven't talked to him in about a year, but I don't think that they did chip that animal. And I know Howard Gillis, who is Seamus's owner, who's been on this program before, I know for a fact he absolutely would never microchip another animal. So, you know, now you've got entire countries that mandate it. And you can find this, by the way, Stephen, if you want to check it out, or listeners, if you want to look, go to chipmenot.com.
Yes.
And on the left-hand side, there's a legislative link, and we've actually got a map and information about the laws that we're aware of that mandate these microchips. So I'd love to talk about the constitutionality of that. All right, we're coming up on a break. 1-800-259-9231, KMA at spychips.com. We'll be right back with attorney Stephen Wise right after this.
Is it a conspiracy if it's all true?
There's no denying that we live in a surveillance society.
Homeland Security wants to ask me some questions.
The power to control and monitor every human being on the planet.
I don't know how they knew all about us.
Government will take more and more of their rights away from them.
One major world crisis away from having a totalitarian type system.
From Cloud 10 Pictures, the producers of Left Behind the movie, Shadow Government.
The main event is the wholesale destruction of the world economy.
The push for every nation on the globe to identify and number all of its citizens.
We are warned of such a global system.
The bad guy might today be Al-Qaeda, and it might tomorrow be Baptist.
The great experiment that was once America has been prostituted by special interests.
Evil exists.
All they're thinking about is, oh, government, do something, protect me, save us from all of this.
We are living in the last days.
Signed copies available at KatherineAlbrecht.com. Click on products or call 1-800-ENDTIME, ENDTIME.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Cliphanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Cliphanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Cliphanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Cliphanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Cliphanger. Cliphanger is thin and simple, has a one-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your Cliphanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing Cliphanger and the Cliphanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your Cliphanger today.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are 3 for $30 and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com. The main name in military supply.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind?
If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Making a fool out of all of these pet owners, and I'm sure that anyone who has developed anything like the tragedy that's happened to many of these animals, I mean, you've got to take a look at this company and at this industry that really promotes these chips but doesn't tell you the downside and say there's got to be, at least, if nothing else, full disclosure. Our guest is Stephen Wise, attorney, and we are discussing the case that's been filed against Merck and Digital Angel regarding a cancerous tumor that formed around a Homagen ID microchip implanted in a cat in 2005. In 2007, he developed cancer and underwent surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, the whole nine yards, and now his owner is suing for reasonable expenses. She just wants to get the medical expenses that she paid plus interest paid for, so she gets that back. But I'm guessing, Steve, that she's going to be paying a whole lot more than that just to hire you. I mean, there's many hours that go into a case like this, so I guess she's kind of putting some things on the line here.
Yes, I think she's not that much interested in recouping her expenses. I mean, obviously she wants to, but I think she's interested, as I said, in finding out, whether this is really a serious and a widespread problem or whether it's not.
Well, let's talk for a moment about what we were talking about just before the break, which is the possibility that that these laws that mandate these microchips actually may not be constitutional if it turns out, in some cases it certainly has turned out that they're harmful. What would be the constitutional argument? And I realize that you haven't done the research on this, but just kind of off the top of your head, what might be one of the arguments that we could at least research?
Well, I don't really know. I haven't really thought about it hardly at all. I guess the first thing I always think of is the 14th Amendment, either under the something under the Due Process Clause or substantive due process. That's the first thing that pops into my mind, and it's so ill thought out, and I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it. But there's something that in 30 years of reading legal cases, when I hear what you're saying and I kind of tense up in some way, that to me is my body's telling me that I've read something somewhere that says that this could be an unconstitutional act.
Well, that would be a very powerful lawsuit to bring. And I'll tell you, the people who would be in a position to bring it would be Charlie Brown's owners, because they are residing in Los Angeles County, where their board of supervisors, the LA County Board of Supervisors, has been pushing these chips for ages. And they were actually one of the first jurisdictions to make them mandatory a couple of years back. Now we're seeing it spread like wildfire. I just heard that a whole province up in Canada is considering making every dog in the entire province, which would be literally millions of animals, they have to get a microchip, that it would be mandatory. So that's a very interesting line of reasoning, and I really would actually be interested in
pursuing. Well, of course, it's always possible that it could be unconstitutional, but still the province in Canada could do whatever it wanted, because it would be under the Canadian Charter of Rights instead of our Constitution.
Yeah, but you've got communities all over the United States that are doing this as well, as we point out on our website. Ray actually has written in with a question.
Yes.
He says, if a local government mandates the chip and then the animal develops cancer, can you sue the government for the expenses related to the cancer?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. These are two questions that, before I could even begin to give you any kind of a rational response or in a thoughtful response, I'd have to think about it and research the law and the Constitution very carefully. I don't know the answer to either of those questions.
Yeah, well, they're interesting ones, because as more and more communities begin mandating the chips, and as more of these stories surface, and I actually believe that Andrea's case is going to cause a lot of these to come out of the woodwork, that may be a question that arises, and it actually may be one strategy to try to get some of these laws repealed. I'd like to see at least one lawsuit filed on that, if it's possible, and if there's some grounds to do it, and then publicize that and say to the other communities that are considering these mandatory laws, we don't want them. I don't know if you probably haven't had an opportunity, Steve, but if you do a search for San Marcos, Texas, and microchipping protest or my name, you can see that there is a huge amount of media coverage and a lot of videos on YouTube of the San Marcos protest that we put on. This is when the city council of the city of San Marcos, Texas, which is probably half an hour from Austin, just outside Austin. It's a college town. And their city council was about to push forward mandatory microchipping there. And I flew into San Marcos and did a huge protest. We had 400 people. We had music. We had guitars. We did a candlelight vigil outside of the city hall, where they held this big meeting to discuss it. There were so many people lined up to speak on this at their council meeting that the meeting wound up running hours late. I mean, it was just incredible. And at the end of all of that, they did vote not to do it. But that's the kind of response that I'd like to see. And I would love, when I stood up there at the podium to deliver my sort of expert testimony on this issue, I would have loved to have been able to say, and in addition, not only are you potentially putting animals at risk through this technology, but you may also be running up against some potential legal danger that could put, you know, your town into trouble. And I think that alone for some of these communities would be enough to make them say, whoop, no, maybe we ought to rethink this.
Well, I would certainly have to think about it before I could give you any kind of an opinion. It sounds like it's something that would be worth looking into.
All right. Let's see. We've got a message in from Jeannie, and Jeannie is the owner of Leon the Bulldog. And I should point out that Jeannie is my source. I mean, I sit at her feet for all of this microchipping information, because I had been fighting the human microchip and the tracking microchips in other contexts, but not in animals. I hadn't really gone there. And she contacted me because she had done all the research after her bulldog Leon developed cancer around the chip. She is actually writing in to the program now with a comment for you, Stephen. She says, it would be great if Mr. Wise could review the legality of mandatory chipping legislation with us. After all is said and done, no one should be forced or coerced to have a foreign object, a microchip, implanted into their animal's body, particularly when there are serious health risks involved and there are other safe forms of identifying animals available. She says, good luck and thanks for covering this topic. And that's signed Jeannie. So great to hear from her on this one.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so we're very interested in that case, and I know you're going to be super busy, and you're doing lots of other things. I know that you're teaching classes, and you've been an adjunct professor at Harvard, and you are just an expert and a very busy person in your own right. But if you do have just a couple of minutes maybe to look through some of those laws, which we've posted at chipmenot.com, and just give us your thoughts or maybe some direction as to where we could go next about the legality of those laws, we would really benefit from it, I believe.
Sure. Let me start to do that.
Fantastic.
In my spare time.
I know. In your spare time. So so where does this go next? Now, I know that the discovery process will be a very interesting one, as some of these stories that I know people have reported their own stories to Merck. Merck hasn't said a word about them. Home again has never mentioned these. At what point do you think some of that would be available? And if in the course of a lawsuit you obtain that kind of information through discovery, is it confidential or can that be publicly released?
Unless there is some sort of an order, it should be public information.
So if you go to Merck and you say, give us all the phone calls and records and reports and problems, and they turn that over back to you, then can you turn that over to us?
I should be able to publish it on the front page of the New York Times if
Wouldn't
I wanted to.
Wouldn't that be extraordinary? All right. Well, that's what I'm going to be sitting here waiting for. What's the time frame for that? You said they have 90 days to respond.
No, we have 90 days to serve the complaint. Then they have 20
okay.
days to respond. I would guess three, four, you know, by springtime, if we're lucky, discovery should start to go into full swing.
All right. Well, you have me very, very excited at that prospect. That'll be my springtime. I'll be looking forward to that, along with the leaves coming back and the flowers.
Wonderful.
I'll be looking forward to my next communication with you, Steve.
Okay. Well,
right.
So do I.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking on this case. Thank you so much for defending the rights of these animals. And thanks for hopefully getting to the bottom of this. I appreciate all you're doing.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right. Attorney Steve Wise representing Andrea Rutherford and Bulkin in their big lawsuit against Merck and Digital Angel. It'll be fun to watch those guys squirm. And won't it be fun to publish that stuff on the front page of the New York Times? I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to it. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever Brokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.